아래 당주 여기 상시기 아이 두 친별연대나 제외연대 제외연대 제자 심지엔 탐지 딱 고아 연예 레다 녀모 옮겨 고아를 내주겠 심지엔 이제 녀모 배 샹원도 송아 송지 랑아메바 아니 지게 르나게 제주디 두슈구레스 니나신다 상시세디 다 두 친별연 제외연대 이 옮겨 두 인지 친별 옮겨다 심지엔이야 내 rāngā mē bā nī xiān liyā, sīm jīn liyā, nī jī tūngā rū yā tāng, dī jī rū yā tāplam, xue tīn tī xiān liyā, pēn tū rū gō rē, sā xī, mā tī ngā tū tī xiu kē, mā tā tū kēm bī tī wē yīn tī gō xī sā xī.
Good afternoon. This morning then, we looked at the excellent qualities of the Buddha's compassion, having last night looked at the excellent quality of his exalted knowing. So this is part of the overall section where we're looking at the incredible qualities of the Buddha jewel presented through his qualities of his body, speech, and now mind. So the Buddha, through his exalted knowing, knows all phenomena, which means he understands that he understands perfectly each individual being's suffering, as well as the causes for their suffering, as well as the ideal solutions and how best for each individual to implement them. And so that's the exalted knowing. And through their great compassion, the Buddha is compelled to help beings, to guide beings to attain a state of freedom. Now we'll continue in the text, looking at the excellent qualities of the Buddha's, and this is more commonly translated as enlightened activities. The excellent qualities of the Buddha's enlightened activities in the handout, the top of page 123, in the published book, the middle of page
105. 야슈 차르제다 틴레윤데스 틴레윤데스데 마레 꾸윤데 숭괴데 투윤데 틴레윤데스 고라디 숭고르와 아 지자다 틴레윤데스 틴레스네 틴레스데 상이기 제바 제바 사실 상이기 데지게 조진 집에 제바 지어와데 틴레샤지 틴레윤데스지 어 제바세지 제 꾸윤 제바데 숭괴 제바 투윤 제바 숭고르와
When we look at the qualities of Buddhas, we look at their qualities through four different ways. The qualities of the Buddha's body, the qualities of the Buddha's speech, the qualities of the Buddha's mind. And that we just looked at with the two components, that of wisdom and compassion. And now we come to the fourth quality of Buddhas, that is their enlightened activities.
那等到当波三一一听力赛的嘛，听力原点赛的来看的是古物，现在等到了三一一，本来南迁一，三一土一，南迁一，但就就就接罢了，对呢，中午个原点是的啦，但听力原点是过来。The
enlightened activities of a Buddha come about independence, or they follow from, or maybe you could say they're caused by the omniscient consciousness of the Buddha. So the omniscient consciousness of the Buddha is what leads to the enlightened activities of
Buddhas. 古龙聚集的土些在我钱包叫三亿土在我钱包南迁去第一王给安呢先里啊缺点吧当安呢旅游贵过年安呢贵那么就对安送贵过年缺点吧第二我话就是说清烈的三亿的清烈的清新的三亿的他土人家王给过年拿去先什么叫里啊安缺点吧缺送要交了哇第送的家里来旧家里的那话是三亿古龙土
And
zeba che ruwa da. Da san yi ge lam nyamlin che rinpa tenyo du, ngaan zuge san yi che su rang che lam nyamlin che ne gewa che ruwa, diyan san yi tinle che go re. Di san yi tinle che 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 wu ru che. San yi ge che ten ngaan zuge nyamlin che ne ngaan zuge gewa lam che dan gewa che ruwa da, diyan san yi tinle che go re. Namjela Ramara Tongy Tope Chemba Yore Tungi Sanji Sanji Chemba Chasan Namjin Sigurwa Chasan Namjin Sanji Gi Dinigi Namjin Digi Gucheba Latino Jube Sanji Kolon Gugi Lungagi and the Zaba Zaba Chese Sanji Tilere Dinigi Sanji Dinigi Sumba Latina Maranzu Yamnaji Maranzu Kiwi Yamnan Giada Jamlu Giada Dinne Solan the Gomnam Lam Jule Giada Chasan Sanji Tinisegore.
Through these two qualities of the Buddha's mind we've already looked at, his exalted wisdom and his great compassion, enlightened activities follow. So for example, the Buddha, perceiving all sentient beings through exalted wisdom and under the power of his great compassion, wants to benefit. The expressions of benefit will be the enlightened activities. So there's a causal sequence with enlightened activities being the expression of the omniscient consciousness. So the clearest illustration of the expression of enlightened activities is not the many miraculous deeds one hears about, but it's the teaching of the Dharma, the presenting of suffering and its causes and the path by which one gains freedom from such suffering. This is the primary enlightened activity that Buddhas engage in so as to help beings. So the expression of teaching comes about under the power of or by means of the omniscient consciousness, both the expression of great compassion and exalted wisdom.
Thank you, Rang, Sanji, Jesu, Jaja, Sanji, somebody looked in Jesu, Kawasa, and Sanji Tilichagore. Jesu, Sanji, Ma, Sanji, Namkin, you, Gunia Lange, Gut Jebala, Dinu, Chuan, and Thank you, Sanji, Deva, Sanji, Chile, Lodjan, Jedu, and then Sanji, Gut, because I Tilichadu, whatever. Yeah, Chile sent a jugures and other Chile Yungores, Yungore, Yores, Marcilla Yore. Then also Tinig, Kawache, Kawati, Sanji, Chile Chagore. Says Dandala, Sanji, Chile, Lamna, Sanji, Chile, Ladu, Sanji, Kuy, Chile, Sungi, Tugi, Chile, Ladu, Kusum, Tu, Sumji, Tugi, that, so Namkin, Jujeba, Latine, Junjik, and Kawajik de la Sanji, Chile, Namkin, Jumaji, Bigawa, and Sanji, Chile Chago, Mare. Namkin, Jujeba, Latine, Jumigi, Rangi, Ju. Namkin Yujeba Latin Jubigi, Geochila, Gasore, Namgurgi, and then Chibilla, and then Sanji Chile said, Dinish Kuku, Sanji Chile said, Seroji.
The enlightened activities of the Buddha can be performed by the Buddha's body, speech, or mind. But whether the enlightened activities of a Buddha are expressed by the body, speech, or mind, they are caused by the omniscient consciousness of the Buddha. So a being who lacks an omniscient consciousness, a non-Buddha, cannot engage in enlightened activities. Those who have omniscient consciousnesses, so Buddhas, their activities are a result of that omniscient consciousness. So whilst an enlightened activity may be expressed physically, verbally, or mentally by the Buddhas, it comes from, as the, maybe you could say, the foundational cause, that of the omniscient consciousness. And where enlightened activities are, I'm not sure what verb to use, but maybe where they are experienced, the enlightened activities of Buddhas, where they are experienced, will be in the continuum of either, or of any being with an omniscient consciousness or without an omniscient consciousness. So in other words, the enlightened activities of the Buddhas are experienced by beings in terms of their accumulation of virtue through engaging in the Dharma. So therefore, the enlightened activities of the Buddhas result in the accumulation of virtue in the continuum of Buddhas and non-Buddhas.
就像上一期去送药的当部深圳里去送药的可是先送过了深圳他们就动了人家伙深圳的地基的电波结果都深比公路三部的那些话的土车我你先不用先不用吧就是的地电波来写下他们就看笔记看吧知道我去那对女笔看吧的药吧在地给看吧地给见证的啥地给姑娘那些深圳里去送过了吧就是的今年姑娘那些深圳里去送笔记了 那个别的住过咱们这个那么古松旅游的古的那么咱们的电影有的，你说那古旅的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的个，那古的 去送我的特别年龄的了的了吧这三级去送我前面的这部车队的这部车队其实地方上三级也去送我前面三级也前面的这部车队但我让你来我让你来预备给我的但三级亲的也去
The primary or principal beneficial activity that Buddhas engage in is to teach the Dharma. And why, what is their motivation? What is their wish behind teaching the Dharma? It is due to the power of their compassion, conjoined with their wisdom, that they want beings to gain freedom from suffering and abide in the lasting state of happiness that Buddhas have attained. So this is what motivates Buddhas to teach the Dharma. And to do so, the Buddha will emanations, so their physical bodies. And these physical emanations that are to engage with and benefit beings, for example, through teaching, will be physical enlightened activities, physical enlightened activities of the Buddhas. And then when they engage in the act of teaching beings, then this is an enlightened activity of speech of the Buddhas. So we see here from the omniscient consciousness, we're entering to benefit beings. Then the enlightened activities follow through expressions of the body with physical enlightened activities through the various emanations appearing throughout the world, and enlightened activities of speech through the Buddha's teaching and guiding beings. So this is one way, one part of the expression of enlightened activities to do with the Buddhas. Then, from the other perspective, the recipient of the Buddha's enlightened, physical and verbal enlightened activities. So these will be ordinary suffering beings like ourselves, or perhaps bodhisattvas, or even Arya beings. They are will be the recipients of such enlightened activities. So let's say the Buddha, an emanation of the Buddha is teaching the Dharma. So this is an expression, a physical enlightened activity and a verbal enlightened activity. The being listening with openness and receptiveness and a degree of faith in the Buddha or in the teacher, in their mind, virtue is arising. And this virtue may arise in the form of a mind of refuge, or the generation of love or compassion, or the attainment of a path, or the further development of a path. So in other words, virtue is arising. And the virtue that's arising in the continuum of non-Buddhas, so the recipients of the teachings, that virtue is arising independent on the enlightened activities of the Buddha, and therefore it is said that the enlightened activities of the Buddha arises in the form of virtue within the continuum of beings. So just to recap that so it's clear, enlightened activities we should understand as both the expression from the Buddha as well as the arisal of virtue that comes in dependence on that expression of the Buddha, that arisal of virtue in the continuum of ordinary beings. That too is the arisal of the enlightened activities of the Buddhas in the continuum of us ordinary beings. So this then is what is meant by the excellent qualities of the Buddha's enlightened activities from these two differing perspectives, from the issuer of the enlightened activities and the other part, ordinary being in whom it arises. These are the excellent qualities of the Buddha's enlightened activities. The way to understand the excellent qualities of the Buddha's enlightened activities is as the resultant activity of the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind. So the Buddha's, and those resultant qualities are expressed by the Buddhas and arise in the continuum of their objects of care, suffering beings. So therefore, the Buddha has qualities of mind, as we saw this morning and last night, that of great compassion and exalted knowing. And this, when this is expressed in terms of the wish to be of benefit, that is an expression of the mental enlightened activities of the Buddha, as well as being qualities of the Buddha's mind. So it can be called both. And then when the Buddha emanates bodies to engage with beings, those bodies then have the various qualities of the bodies of a Buddha, and they are also a resultant expression of the qualities of the Buddha. So therefore, there would be physical enlightened activities. And then the activity of teaching. So the speech of the Buddha has the qualities we looked at last time, but the act of speaking is the act of teaching is also an enlightened a verbal enlightened activity of the Buddha. So therefore, there's a sequence of what the enlightened activity being a result of the various qualities of the Buddha. And when one looks at the individual qualities of the Buddha, as they are being utilized to be of benefit, they can be called either the quality of the Buddha or an expression of the enlightened activity of the Buddha. So they can be referred to as both. Then, in terms of the recipient of this illustration of the teachings of the Buddha, to the extent that the recipient hears and reflects and meditates on the teachings, those qualities of the Dharma will arise in the mind. And what is arising in the mind is the qualities of the Dharma, and it is the enlightened activities of the Buddha arising in the mind. So there's two then. Here we should, in terms of the qualities arising in the mind of non-Buddhas, these two we should understand as being the enlightened activities of Buddhas and a resultant quality of the various activities of the
Buddha.
但听力云点的三九窟窿去了，有的马上去了，有的个你看的，等他下班的时候。So from this we can understand that the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind that we've looked up to this point, these are found only in the continuum of Buddhas. Hence, they are such remarkable beings. But their resultant expression of these good qualities, their enlightened activities, these abide in the continuum both of Buddhas and ordinary beings. So turning to the text, the handout, the top of page 123. And in the published book, the middle, page 105. So, yeah, just there. He benefits all sentient beings through both the spontaneous and the uninterrupted enlightened activities of his body, speech, and mind.
So
Looking at this first sentence, he benefits all sentient beings through both the spontaneous and uninterrupted enlightened activities of his body, speech, and mind. So the qualities of a Buddha's body, speech, and mind, when expressed to be of benefit to others, they are expressed in terms of work or activity. So with normal everyday language, we talk about work, but here we'd use the word activity. So these activities then, or enlightened activities, have the two qualities of being both spontaneous and secondly, uninterrupted. The first type of enlightened activity, that is spontaneous, or spontaneous enlightened activities. So this expresses the quality that no effort is required. The Buddhas spontaneously engage in enlightened activities. So this is very different from ourselves. For example, we have to make efforts, think and plan and so forth. Whereas for Buddhas, it's spontaneous. Where there's need, they appear. So this quality of enlightened activities being spontaneous means that it is immediate. No effort is required. The enlightened activities that are uninterrupted means that it is continuous that the Buddhas engage and benefit. It's not that they, at certain times they are active and at other times they are not, or that they at certain times can help these beings and at other times those beings. There is no interruption to their enlightened activities, which are also spontaneous.
So the
enlightened activities of a Buddha are so unlike non-Buddhas. We have to make effort. Buddhas do not need to make effort. They can, and not only do they not need to make effort, in other words, they can be spontaneous, they can help others in a manner that's uninterrupted. It's never a case of them needing to ponder what would be best here, or let's do some research at what's a good solution. That would be an interruption. And likewise, in terms of hindering spontaneity or spontaneous intervention, then it's not like the Buddha needs to think about what should be done or prioritize. The Buddhas can help spontaneously in an uninterrupted manner. So these two maybe aspects or types of enlightened activities are that the enlightened activities are spontaneous. There is no need for prior planning and reflection, and they are uninterrupted. There's no cue of those that the Buddhists can get to. The help is uninterrupted and spontaneous. Lama Tsongkhapa continues, insofar as a disciple is fit for guidance, it is impossible for the sage not to give that trainee what is excellent and pull him or her out of trouble.
제가
Second sentence, insofar as a disciple is fit for guidance, that is the key part there. Because this indicates what we already understand, that in order to be able to, for example, receive teachings, a number of conditions are required. If those conditions have not been accumulated, even if there's a teacher willing and capable to guide, the conditions from the side of the students are not cultivated, they cannot engage with the teachings. They may not be able to come, or they may not be able to concentrate, or to even hear what is being said. Insofar as a disciple is fit for guidance, it is impossible for the sage not to give that trainee what is excellent and pull him or her out of trouble. Furthermore, this key part in the sentence is this first clause, insofar as a disciple is fit for guidance. Because this points to the development of qualities, or to express it differently, openness and receptiveness on the side of the student. Independent on that, the Buddha can give. Because the Buddha has no limitation from the Buddha's side in terms of providing what is excellent. But there is limitation on the student's side for being able to be receptive to that excellent guidance. Likewise, there's no limitation from the Buddha's side to be able to pull the student out of trouble or decline. But there is a limitation in terms of the conditions accumulated by the student, in terms of what they will be receptive to, what they will be open to, what they will amount of effort they themselves will put in. So again, the limitation here is on the student side, in terms of how fit they are for
guidance. Yomada,
A Buddha, being free of all faults, is able to guide each being perfectly in accordance with that being's own disposition and inclination. So therefore, a Buddha will know to whom they need to talk about their being a self, as well as to whom they can present selflessness. So where a disciple is limited in their receptiveness to teachings on selflessness, the Buddha is restricted in what would be beneficial to communicate. So if the student would respond particularly negatively to a presentation on selflessness, the restriction in terms of what can be presented is not on the side of the Buddha. The Buddha is able to present selflessness flawlessly, but the student is not a suitable vessel. A student will respond negatively. So therefore, the Buddha will struggle to be able to guide that being right now, to pull that being right now from the suffering realms of samsara. Similarly, if a student is closed to even the possibility of there being future lives, they just believe in this one life now, that means they are not particularly open and receptive to much of the teachings of the Dharma, which presuppose an acceptance of future lives. So therefore, again, the limitation is not on the side of the Buddha, but the causes that student has created means that they are quite limited in terms of the guidance that they are open and receptive to. We should be very clear here that from the side of the perfected being, they can guide all beings, and they can guide beings in accordance with the receptiveness of that being. But whether we are guided in the most suitable way is dependent on our own receptiveness, what causes we ourselves have accumulated. This then impacts on the how rapidly we can be pulled out of trouble or decline, in other words, pulled out of the suffering realms of samsara.
And in Zada, Giver Weber Tamje, never, never, so, such as Ada, Dujeria, Chu, Kanishim, Dindu, Rua, in the Dinit, Pando, Yoba, Dindu, Rua, Chimba, Chazala, and the Tam Injimijima, Chu, Sungres, or that's ever. Pando, Zigres.
And Lama Tsongkhapa concludes, thus it is stated that through his actions, he definitely does everything that is necessary. Necessary here, it's more of all that is appropriate. Appropriate in terms of what the student is receptive to. Because presenting something that the student would rebel against, that is not appropriate. But whatever the student is receptive to in that way, the Buddhas will help. Here we see a further restriction placed on the Buddha, because what we've heard thus far is the Buddha has perfected them, their good qualities through completely eradicating all faults, therefore has an omniscient consciousness, knows all phenomena. But despite that, as we saw earlier, the Buddha is also without any control, because another way to translate this without any control is without free will. So the Buddha is also without free will in terms of not having being controlled by their great compassion. But here we see a further way that the Buddha is without free will or without any control, and that is the restriction placed on their enlightened activities by the suitability of the or receptiveness of those that the Buddha is interacting with, or the disposition and inclination of the students the Buddha is interacting with. That impedes what a Buddha can do. So it's not that the Buddha can do whatever the Buddha chooses to do. The Buddha is restricted. The will of the Buddha is restricted and therefore not free in terms of what would be appropriate, what would be most beneficial. The Buddha is, though, because of the omniscient consciousness, able to guide beings perfectly in accordance with the complexity of their karmic backgrounds and individual spiritual dispositions. So the Buddha can perceive that directly and therefore can perceive to whom to guide through the Mahayana Dharma and who to guide through another presentation, or in terms of the philosophical tenets, what would be most appropriate given this person's individual karmic background and spiritual disposition. So there is a limitation on the free will of the Buddha. And to some, this limitation will be therefore expressed by the Buddha as not teaching a philosophical view, a view on reality, but rather guiding others in the cultivation of virtue through cultivating minds of love and compassion, and not talking about how phenomena exist in reality, whether there is a self or not. So the Buddha is not free to choose to teach selflessness to everyone, but the Buddha is restricted by the individual karmic backgrounds of beings. But we should know, though, that the Buddha will always do whatever is most suitable, most appropriate for each individual in terms of their current state of spiritual development. And furthermore, from these two types of enlightened activities we saw earlier, spontaneous enlightened activities and uninterrupted enlightened activities, the Buddha is always at the ready to help. And not just at the ready as in the sense of waiting back, but is always engaging in accordance with the capacity of those that the Buddhas are engaging with. So there is no, from the side of the Buddha, no fatigue or no lack of wish to help right now or a lack of knowledge on a particular topic. These are what restrict us, where there'll be certain things we can't really answer, we can't teach, or to say, sorry, I can't answer that, I haven't prepared. Buddhas don't have any of these restrictions. Therefore, they can engage spontaneously and uninterruptedly. The only form of restriction they encounter is the receptiveness from the side of the students. And that receptiveness comes about independent on their own karmic backgrounds, their own causes they have created. So this weekend we've covered some particularly challenging topics. Challenging in terms of they seem quite inconceivable and beyond what we can conceive as possible. So we've heard, although I didn't use the words earlier, but I'll use it now, there is no free will, that we are without any control. So this we've spoken about many times in the past. But I've also spoken about something today that is pointing to that it looks like things are predetermined, in that the Buddha knows what will happen with each of us over the course of many lifetimes to come. And this is quite incomprehensible to us because it's something so very far from our own lived experience that it is difficult to believe. How can the Buddha know what will happen to this continuum in lifetimes to come and know with complete precision? So this is quite difficult to comprehend. And
다 모험바나 이나 모험바나 소소게 냠는 디디디디 제바나 탈베 야조베나 탈바다 탐지 기부고 봐 내 냠는 디니시는 똑바디니 시기 디진 똑바디니 디디 디네 자지메 제부 토그레 디네 자지 셈바 차이 디네 산이 고바치 림바 차다 산이 송샤요 와다 제자 송요 다든 안 주기 미가오 개위 묘몽바 삼노 제바나 디묘몽바 삼노 디니시 코나 Nasol Dinski, Dele Duma de Tenyo, Dele Shuche Hona, Neva, Dele Duma de Tenyo, Neva, Sanyas, Dene, Chinese, Dene, Duma, Chana, this Chana Sanyi change, Mandu Sun Savanda, Sun Savare.
Whilst there's a lot in the Dharma that is accessible to us, either directly or either immediately or with some reflection and analysis and study, there is still a lot that is completely obscured to us and is only known to an omniscient consciousness. So for example, for us, the existence of the lower realms, these aren't something that we perceive, but we've heard already prior to this chapter about the 18 hell realms, the various forms of pretas and so forth. We've also heard a brief presentation on the causes that lead to rebirth in the lower realms. And we will come to the chapter on karma, which will present that if depending on the cause and the strength of the cause and varying factors, it can lead to a variety of suffering experiences, including rebirth in a lower realm. And if it's particularly strong, it will rebirth in a hell. If it's less strong as a spirit and less strong than that, then as an animal and so forth. So this is all stuff that all topics that we've either covered in some detail or briefly, and these are topics that to our perception are still quite hidden. But so too in the other direction, the direction of travel we want to go into. We've heard many times about the causes that need to be accumulated that will lead to excellent rebirths. And through those causes being developed in a way that's even stronger, they will lead to the eventual attainment of a mental path that, and as that is developed, will lead to one's liberation from cyclic existence and even to Buddhahood. So all of this has been presented, and these are topics that to us still remain somewhat hidden. The Buddha also taught about, maybe I can express it like this, as more practical applications to deal with hardship in the world. In that, the Buddha also taught about medicine to treat ailments, to treat illnesses. So the Buddha taught about a variety of illnesses, as well as giving guidance in terms of medicinally how to treat those those illnesses. So this the Buddha has previously taught, or did previously teach.
On the Jiyong Chane, Chasan Duchine, Chasan Sundibash, Sungore.
And the teachings of the Buddha that we encounter are these general teachings where the Buddha is addressing sentient beings, as opposed to teachings where the Buddha is saying, for you, this is what will happen to you. These are the causes you need to create. Otherwise, this or that, etc. So we hear teachings in a general manner, as opposed to being about each of us individually.
A kusung to get chill and you lunge your drip chain, kusung to get 구성도 연대 해야 되다. 니와가 대양, 류지원이 지중나, 특유의 류지에 대 분소다, 분소 마제바다, 마구바, 마장바, 매비에서지. 류지원이, 와, 제산 류지원이 지중나, 류지원이 최초의 대니지 유연대 대나, 룸바이나, 송구리에 지금 와. 제사당 안 하더라도 결혼 대내지라 상 얘기를 해. 결혼 뒤지지라 강한 뒤지게 해서 손해 등 안 손바 손해 등 안 하더라도 뒤지고 안 하더라도 룸거 말다 되지. 안 하더라도 손해 룸거 말해. 편도에 말해. 제사 뒤 숨거 말해. 제사 뒤 룸나 되는 게 룸와이나 손해로 가다.
To return to the text to what we've just covered. So in the paragraph, in the same paragraph that we've been looking at, the second sentence. Insofar as a disciple is fit for guidance. This is important now to take to mind, to recall this, that insofar as a disciple is fit for guidance, it is impossible for the sage not to give the trainee what is excellent and pull him or her out of trouble. So this we should be very clear on. We have received the teachings that we are we have created the causes to receive. Or to express it differently. We receive the teachings that are suitable for us. If there were another form of teaching that we were suitable for, that we would have received too. So here, what is, again, I said earlier, what's been pointed to is that the limitation is not from the side of the Buddha, but is on the side of the vessel, of the side of the student. But there are those who are suitable to be given explicit indication of their future progression. So some bodhisattvas are suitable, and at the time of receiving initiation, they will be given a prediction of their enlightenment. They will be told, at this particular time, you will become enlightened. This is the name you'll have as a Buddha. This will be the retinue that you have. So a prediction of enlightenment or a prophecy will be given to certain bodhisattvas who are suitable to receive such guidance. So what we have translated here as insofar as a disciple is fit, so insofar as they are fit. So this fit is what's translated here as fit is usually translated as appropriate or suitable. Translation is fine, but you'll usually hear the word appropriate or suitable. So to the degree, to the extent that the student has developed themselves, developed the courses, that they are appropriate for a certain level of guidance, that is what the Buddhas will spontaneously and uninterruptedly provide to them. So this is actually a key term with a lot of significance behind it, this word suitable or appropriate or fit. Now, continuing with the text, and Lama Tsongkhapa quotes Potawa, if you reflect on the Buddha's qualities again and again, your conviction strengthens and your mind stream becomes purer, which gives rise to more blessings. If you reflect on the Buddha's qualities again and again, so this is the reflection on recognizing our yearning for freedom from the sufferings of samsara, and that the qualities of the Buddhas, of the qualities of the three jewels, such as the Buddha's body, speech, mind, and enlightened activities, the three jewels all have the capacity to guide me to attain a state of freedom. As our, throughout these repeated reflections, our trust in the three jewels grow, the blessings we receive from the three jewels grow. So there's a relationship here. As our trust or faith in the qualities of the three jewels, in other words, as our refuge in the three jewels grow, the blessings we receive from them grow. And what does this term blessing mean? So here it's stated. Your conviction strengthens and your mind stream becomes purer. So the conviction strengthens. This, what this means is our trust in the qualities of the three jewels. This is growing, which is another way of expressing we are creating virtue, because it's not just that we are reflecting on the qualities of the three jewels, but our faith or trust in the three jewels is growing. That is a virtuous mind. So it's not just a mere intellectual exercise where you're running off a list in your mind, but your heart is opening, your trust is growing. That is a virtuous mind. So this then is the reception or the receiving of blessings of the Buddha. And to the extent we accumulate virtue, to that extent, so there's a comparative, to that extent, non-virtue is purified. That too is a blessing of the Buddhas. So this term blessings of the Buddha's blessings of the three jewels. This comes about, what it is meant by blessings is that we are accumulating virtue and purifying non-virtue. That is the receiving of blessings. Just mention briefly the etymology of this word blessing. So the Tibetan is as the two particles, the two parts, jin and lab. So the two syllables. So the first syllable, that of jin. So this, it's a different word, but the meaning is we hear elsewhere in nupa, which is power or capacity. So this refers to one's, in this case, the three jewels. It could be the Buddha, it could be one's lama, the recognition of their power or capacity to positively influence you. Now this positively influence your mind. So that's the first part of the word blessing, jin. The second, lab. This means to change or transform, and that's in relation to our mind. So we're turning to those whom we have trust and faith that they have, now the jinn, the power or capacity to help us change our mind, the love. And what does it mean to change or transform our mind? Accumulate virtue and thereby purify non-virtue. So therefore, when you ask yourself, or when you're making prayers and there's an expression there of receiving or requesting blessings, what's the meaning is you recognize that that person or that being has the power or capacity to influence you, to inspire you, to transform your mind. How? The accumulation of virtue. And the very turning for blessings is accumulating virtue.
Ning taba ne, jabsu sonte, di labjala lobsam na, jijie tamje, sanje, ye, che jawa jidu yuwa indes.
Bhattava continues. When you have gained certain knowledge about this, you will go for refuge from the depths of your heart. Then, if you merely train in the precepts, whatever you do will become a practice of the Buddha Dharma.
And on that, then, never, and
when you have gained certain knowledge about this. So this is referring to your mind of protecting refuge, being stable, and being stable because one has reflected well on the qualities of the three jewels, recognizing that they have the capacity to guide one so that one can gain as protection from suffering. So when you have gained a certain knowledge about this, Your refuge will be heartfelt. As it says there, you will go for refuge from the depths of your heart. So this means you are completely open and receptive to the guidance of the Dharma. Whatever guidance you receive, you embrace it. And that is experienced as ensuring that one's mind is always in accordance with the Dharma. Then Potawai continues, then if you merely train in the precepts, the precepts can be presented in many ways. So it doesn't necessarily refer to the refuge precepts, but precepts such as that it's imperative not to bring harm to ethical restraint, that it's imperative to be of benefit, generosity, it's imperative to be patient in the face of hardships, and it's imperative to develop the skill of enthusiastic perseverance. So these are some of the precepts. And whatever you do will become a practice of the Dharma. Because all that one does then, or whatever one is doing, one is being aware of one's mind and ensuring that one's mind is in accordance with ethics, generosity, patience, enthusiastic perseverance, and so forth. And this way, all your expressions, physical and verbal expressions, are coming from minds of the Dharma. And then everything what one does is a practice of the Buddha Dharma.
也是当然就给定那个三级级，定那个结束算，减除减呢结束算的，定那结束了不就三级级？那定那个提拔大家给转达了，那就给他这个过啊过啊过啊过啊，确定住过啊过啊，伊呢定那计划下头了，我告诉公龙减除些，减除些，减除给他三级级提拔大家了，恰恰完了过啊过啊是送对吧？啥？你来也送的，第二两代先过啊过对，就那。 天天过过的个旅过了过，做的个不啦，公龙开发有了建筑，现在开发啥个了？给予学习过了不啦？过了过学习过了不？那你明白些？那俺就读些呢，啊，苏布塘公园啊，那里去打那几句说的呗？那个旅游车的嘛都开发啥个嘛是吧？过了过了几百了哇？是吧？过了过了几百的这些的，基地建筑些建筑给拉起来了，落地的三百公里浪接过了过了，对，那开发啥个了？这些的？
俺那里面没积累，当然就等于什么干也没办法接，过了过完那绿色路上去吃个嘛，到你开发啥的，上有缺席吧，买的的，过了过完的几百些，积累缺席过了，积累缺席过买的来的，缺席吧，搁那是呢，过减着，结束是工作，结束着减，结束着呢，等于你减着给他呢，减着落下了落下，但等于现在在。
This too then should be taken to heart, because it's entirely in accordance with what you've heard so many times, that whether we do something, whatever we do, whether it's virtuous or not, depends on our mind. Whether it's in accordance with the Dharma or not depends on our mind, more than the activity itself. So we have this magnificent stupa here, and whether one's circumambulations are activities of the Dharma or not depends on one's motivation. If one's been sitting all day and the body's a bit sore, you think, I need to move, and then one goes and does nkora, one is really just doing some exercise. But if one has been sitting all day and one's body is a bit sore, but in dependence on one sitting all day, one has a determination to gain freedom from the sufferings of samsara. And one has a present in one's mind a deep and abiding respect for the Buddhas. Then, as an expression of homage, one performs circumambulation. One's body is being exercised, but one is engaging in an act of the Dharma. So this is important. It's important that one understands us and understands that such a motivation needs to be sincere, not just a mere expression of words, for it to be a Dharma activity.
Dimbu,
Well, Portaway is encouraging us in here is to reflect again and again on the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind, as well as enlightened activities, and do so again and again so that one's conviction, one's faith in the three jewels grow. In particular, with this understanding that they can provide one with protection. Therefore, I will rely on the guidance that I receive. This opening of oneself is accumulating virtue. This means one is receiving the blessings of the Buddha. It will also mean one will be, one will find it much easier to turn away from what keeps one from engaging in the Dharma and rather to embrace the Dharma itself.
Moma no sho shigi, nalo chelane, subchak me, nashi, sena, de bolgi to. Then, andusine, sundua.
Potsua continues. We do not value the Buddha's exalted knowing even as much as we value an accurate fortune teller. If an accurate fortune teller tells you, I know there will be no bad luck for you this year, you walk away happy and comfortable. Potsua is pointing out is that we do not value the Buddha's exalted knowing, but not just exalted knowing. His other qualities are mental qualities such as great compassion, but also the qualities of his speech and body. So all the qualities of the Buddha. We do not value as much as a fortune teller with a good reputation. That our trust in what a fortune teller will tell us, a fortune teller who has a good reputation, our trust in that exceeds our trust in the Buddha Dharma. So if you go to someone that has a good reputation and you ask for a divination and you get a very welcome reply that there will be no bad luck for you this year, you'll be thrilled. You'll probably leave there with a big smile on your face, tell all your friends, I have a good year ahead of me. And Potsua continues. If she says, this year there will be great misfortune, do this, don't do that, you will try hard to accomplish it. And if you do not accomplish it, you will think, I did not accomplish what she told me to do, and your mind will be anxious.
And 가르쳐가 뒤 배제신 지기래 두부래 배제신 룹. 뒤 마둠나 디네기 그 제시교 제야디 제주사디 제야기 마주바나 소설이 아다딩이 제마서 빼마서 빼 지나 가르쳐가서 빼 샘체실로 마디 마기와 시우시 두부래 제래.
Receiving the bad news like this, that you have obstacles ahead, but being presented with solutions, you'll immediately leave there with a determination. I need to organize these pujas or whatever else one has been told to do. And you'll set about doing so with diligence. And if for whatever reason one is unable to do so, that will disturb your mind greatly, being anxious, thinking, I have not done what I should have done to avert catastrophe.
The
meaning in brief here is that this shows how one's trust in for example, a fortune teller, someone who does divinations of various types, our trust in them can be such that we will either be joyous at what they say, or we will frantically set about following their advice, if they so advise us to do so. And Potawa continues, if the Buddha says, do this and that, accomplish this and that, do you take it on? If you do not accomplish it, does your mind become anxious? To claim the teachings say that, but owing to present circumstances, I cannot do it right now, so I must do this instead, is to ignore the Buddha's advice and proceed on the basis of your discernment. Then Lama Tsongkhapa continues, just as Potawa says here, if we turn our mind inward and examine carefully, we will recognize that it is so true, that it is so true that our normal attitude, one of trusting others' mere words and being content without discernment, is nothing but delusion. Potawa is asking us, look at the way you respond to the Dharma teachings you receive, and look at the way you respond to everyday people that you have trust in. And ask yourself, who do you really place your trust with? So look at the advice you've been given in terms of the meditations to engage in say, precious human rebirth, death and impermanence, and now on refuge. How much of the advice did you take to heart? How much of the advice do you follow meditating on regularly, cultivating those qualities within? Do you respond with determination, taking this as personal advice? Does your delay or procrastination bother you much? As especially when you compare to the advice that one receives from just general people in society who you have trust in. Here you need to look carefully. You need to look carefully at whether you really value the advice from the Buddha or not. This is very direct. It's quite confrontational from Potaba. Saying, you see, I'm pointing out to you now directly, you haven't yet really thought about the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind. And therefore, you don't truly appreciate just what you have encountered. Think about this so that you take the advice from the Buddha to heart. Don't let the teachings merely wash over you, but take them to heart, embrace them, and ensure that your mind is always in accord with them. We've covered quite a lot this weekend, but I encourage you in the fortnight before we meet again to reflect on the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, mind, and enlightened activities so as to develop one's trust in the Buddha, to recognize that the Buddha is suitable to turn to for protecting refuge, because this is an indispensable prerequisite to cultivate the Dharma deep within, to let go of all that confuses and deludes us and distracts us and embrace what is important. Moreover, when reflecting on the qualities of the enlightened activities of the Buddha, be very aware that the Buddha is always engaging with us, always engaging with suffering beings, and does so spontaneously and uninterruptedly. The only restriction is from our side, our receptiveness. So therefore, to the extent that we open ourselves and make ourselves receptive, we will be able to receive the guidance and the blessings of the Buddha. So this is important, and I encourage you to train yourself, because whilst the mind may often seem quite chaotic and undisciplined, can be transformed into paths of the Dharma by integrating the knowledge that you receive here through reflecting on it. And whilst it is difficult at first, by becoming accustomed to it, it will become ever easier. And in this way, the teachings will become more natural to you, become very much part of who you are, part of your mind. So I encourage you to take this advice, cultivate it within. Okay, then thank you. We can conclude here for the weekend. Thank you.